Central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome. It is 7 minutes after 8 a.m. and we are getting started and ready to go with feedback. 715-845-2155 is the phone number. If you would like to be a part of the show, we are getting ready to connect with our special guest, Sarah Palin. The issue at hand this morning is what we are facing with the Wausau School District and the changes that are being made in the potential programming. The issue at hand is apparently the school district has made some changes suggested to the Wausau West Choral Program and to all elementary schools in the district and made some very significant changes to their program. We've talked about that at length. This has a very wide-ranging effect, not only here in our area, but this can have a ripple effect around the nation. So let us now, if without further ado, talk to our special guest, former governor and vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
It is an honor and a privilege to have you on the program. Finally, we get a little class around this place.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you.
The reason I wanted to have you on, and forgive me if I go on just a little bit, the reason I wanted to have you on is while you were just under the white-hot spotlight of the public eye, one of the things that impressed me most about you was that you were very definitive in your convictions. You knew exactly what you believed in, and you knew why you believed it, and you did not waver from your message when challenged. And I think that this is a characteristic that needs to be emphasized when we are about to enter in with this school board meeting we have tonight over this issue of what's happening with our Christianity in our public schools.
Well, I agree. And I tell you, going through some of the things that we've gone through, you go through the fire and it makes you stand even stronger on your convictions. So in a way, that white hot spotlight, as it's been referred to, that has kind of refined, in a way, some of the things that I stand for. And so following your issue, and I do follow a lot of Wisconsin politics and a lot of things that just happen there in the Dairyland, because I do love Wisconsin. My grandma had been born in Chippewa Falls, and by the way, my dad, my brother, they're obsessed with the Green Bay Packers. So Wisconsin,
everybody
has,
up here is obsessed with the Green Bay Packers.
Absolutely, a bunch of cheeseheads around there. So, you know, following Wisconsin and hearing recently of this issue with your local school board, it so resonated in me because it went right to the heart of my main conviction, and that is standing strong and standing tall for what it is that we believe in and not capitulating and not just giving in and giving up and saying, oh, okay, a bad decision is being made and it will affect me and it will take away my freedoms. In this case, it's religious censorship that's going on. And there is something that I can do about it, though, united, good, average, hardworking, patriotic Americans who are saying enough is enough on this war on Christmas and war on religious faith, freedom. I'm going to do something about it. So following your issue, it's been quite fascinating, and I can't wait to see what the outcome is when good Wisconsin residents stand up and say, enough is enough. We're going to stand for Christmas, and we're going to stand for our freedoms.
Yeah, you know, occasionally these type of fights come up, and you have to choose your battles. And you think, all right, is this really worth getting all riled up about? And you know, the issue about dress code, an issue about this, an issue about that. Some of it, yeah, no, it's not really worth getting up off your couch and putting down the bag of Doritos for. But this particular issue, when we're dealing with an encroachment on the ability to use Christian music during the Christmas holidays, that's a key issue. And there are three questions that I've been asking about this. Who is it exactly that it made these decisions to change everything? That's very unclear right now. Why have they made these decisions to change? Who's behind the, you know, the reason for change? And the big question is, when did they decide to make these changes? Because we had a caller to our program yesterday that said these decisions were made months ago and just not revealed. Have you seen this type of thing in your travels? Have you seen this type of thing occurring in the smaller communities more and more, or is this an isolated incident?
Well, first, you make a very good point about picking our battles. And, you know, I have five kids. We've all gone through the public schools. I've gone through the public school system. My parents, public school employees. I have a family full of school teachers. And I, too, I like any other hardworking American, we don't have time to get all wee-weed up about every little issue that would perhaps happen in a school, like the dress codes or what they'll serve at lunch or whatever. You do have to pick your battles. This is the most important battle, though. And, yes, I have seen this all across the nation, especially of late, as we see more and more this empowered, emboldened war on Christmas. In fact, in my research, I've discovered example after example of towns and schools surrendering to these, basically what it comes down to so often is angry atheists armed with attorneys. We call them Scrooges, and they have decided to kind of thwart the will of the majority, thwart the will of those who believe in tradition and believe in keeping Christ in Christmas and believe in no censorship of what it is that perhaps a family, a school wants to celebrate at Christmas time. Yes, and in fact, I researched it so closely. Another reason why your Wisconsin issue is resonating with me is I wrote a book about this. And the book comes out before Christmas time, and it's called Good Tidings and Great Joy. And it's all about this, the war on Christmas, and how we can speak up and how we cannot be intimidated and how we must realize that these groups, these individuals, and it's interesting that you still haven't received your answers yet, and the public deserves answers on who's making this decision there in Wausau, when was the decision made, so that people can be held accountable, right? And so that you can have more of your questions answered, so everybody has more information to know what we're dealing with here. But we can't, for one, believe what a group, say, like the ACLU or the mainstream media, it will tell you about this issue at this point. You have to know that, especially if the public's trying to receive their information, their answers from others in the media, that mainstream media, they have an agenda. You're not going to necessarily get the truth from them. That agenda is usually wrong, by the way, and it is so important that the public receives the information and the answers to the questions that you're asking so that they so that they're empowered, so that they know they don't have to be intimidated, and they know that they have that right to speak up and realize that sometimes schools, towns, sometimes they cave because they don't feel like the community supports them if they take a stand to do the right thing. So that's why it's important, you know, that your folks show up at school board meetings and town council meetings, and they let elected officials know that you don't support religious censorship.
One of the interesting things that you bring up is agenda of the media. And sometimes, just to play devil's advocate, it is exemplified in just simple ignorance of the difference between right and wrong. Look at, I believe it was Justice Scalia that came out and said that he believes in heaven and hell, good versus evil. And the response that he got from the media was ridicule. It's like, what do you mean you believe in Satan? How ridiculous are you?
You know what was cool about that, though, is here Scalia called the reporter on it, called the gal on it, like, are you kidding me? You're sitting there kind of slack-jawed and bug-eyed because I'm talking about good and evil and heaven and hell, and you don't understand it. And he kind of got in her face, and that's,
precisely.
That's powerful. That's good. That's awesome.
That's what we need to do, is we must, again, like I said when we first started talking, we all must know wholeheartedly what it is that we believe in and why we believe it, and then plant our feet firmly on a rock and defend our rights when we are challenged. And that's what you do such a great job of every time I hear you speak.
Well, there is nothing more important, I believe. And remember, President Reagan had said, you strengthen and stiffen your spine and look around. You're going to see that stiffens the spines
yes.
of others around you. So,
precisely.
Yes, exactly. And when we talk about these Scrooges, and it sounds like you're dealing with at least one or two Scrooges, you'll find out who they are. Once finally your questions are answered, again, you deserving those answers, you're going to realize how empowered people are when they stand strong against these Scrooges and let them know that, there are more of us than there are against us, even though we seem to be a silent majority in a way, because we're busy. You know, you're running your farms and you're feeding the nation and your industry there in Wisconsin is pretty doggone amazing. I was just reading about even your Christmas tree industry. It's tens of millions of dollars and just all the things that the Wisconsin produces. You guys are busy. You're raising families, running businesses, and
I'm a slacker.
You don't sound like a slacker. I mean, number one radio show there in the morning. You guys are doing great. But realize that, okay, these Scrooges, we're in America. So thank God everybody has their freedom. These Scrooges, they have a voice. But so do people of faith and conviction. We should not be afraid to use our voice. And even if a town or a school board surrenders initially and decides to be this politically correct entity, and yet in the meantime they're offending the majority of Americans, believe me, an action like this that Wausau has initially taken offends the rest of America. So we don't give up the fight, though. Bad decisions, as initially it sounds like Wausau has made here or wants to make, no, bad decisions, they can be changed.
Absolutely. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Governor, you said something just a minute ago, and I think you've given us an exclusive announcement here on our program. You have a book coming out. You said Good Tidings and Joy?
Good Tidings and Great Joy. This is a book about protecting the heart of Christmas, and it will come out in November in time for Christmas. And the cool thing about this book is not only does it tackle this war on Christmas, it gives the solutions, legal steps that we can all take, empowering steps that we can all take as Americans to stand up against the Scrooges and put Christ back in Christmas.
Then may I ask, I have to go to a commercial break. May I ask if you can hold on for about 4 minutes while we pay a couple bills, do a commercial? Can you hold on and then we talk to you a little bit more about your upcoming book?
Absolutely, we'll do that. And good, glad to hear you're paying your bills and you're not waiting for government to do it for you.
Never. We pay our bills around here. WSAU, we are on the phone with Governor Palin. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The Wisconsin Morning News to start your day.
Feedback at 8.
The biggest talkers.
And did we mention football?
There's only one station that delivers it all.
Every day.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. We are discussing the implications of things that are happening with this school board system here in Wausau area and the limitations of Christian music in a Christmas performance. Our guest this morning is former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. Thank you very much for holding on through the break. You were talking, and you let us know that you've written a book about, I hate to use the term war on Christmas, so I'm just going to slide that off to the side, but the assault on what seems to be a wholesale assault on Christianity in public venues, school systems, government, and so forth. How long did it take you to put this book together?
It took about a year because I did a lot of research and studied up on what the solutions really are to unite and take a stand and encourage all patriots to take that stand for the values that made America great. This is one of the values that has made America great, our freedom to celebrate, and it really is time to take a stand for Christmas and our Christian faith, and that's why I wrote the book, Good Tidings and Great Joy.
When is it coming out?
November 12th, and it will be out there in time for Christmas, so that we are reminded that Christmas should never be pushed aside, Seth, and that vanishing wish of Merry Christmas that we used to hear all over the place without getting in trouble for saying it, now being replaced with the required Happy Holidays, and in your case and in other cases all across the nation, these attempts to disallow our children from celebrating the joy of Christmas during the season, which should make us all yearn for the days when Christmas was Christmas. Well, this book coming out on November 12th will give some steps that we can all take to unite to stand up for Christmas and for our freedom of expressing our faith.
You know, in court cases in days of old, there used to be a rule of thumb called the reasonable man law or the reasonable man rule. It would be an application of common sense. What would a reasonable person in this circumstance do? And that was kind of the how things were looked at and judged. And I mention this because, like what you just said, with the exclusion of Merry Christmas and so forth, it seems to me a reasonable individual. If I were to come up to one of my fellow Wisconsinites here and say, hey, Merry Christmas, and they were of the Jewish faith, and they were to smile, shake my hand, and say, Happy Hanukkah, I would not be offended by that, nor would they. We are expressing our own beliefs in a manner, it's not offensive. If somebody would say, hey, Happy Kwanzaa, or, you know, Ramadan, whatever, thank you for responding back. You don't have to glare at me and go, well, I don't believe in Christmas. Where have we gone sideways and lost this common sense? Where has this gone?
Exactly. Well, I think one of the first steps that we took in allowing this common sense to be thrown out the window in these cases is there is a glitch in law that allows someone to claim religious offense has been taken by me personally, so I'm going to sue or I'm going to take legal steps to stop you from singing Christmas carols at your Christmas program. There is a glitch in law that for some reason allows, you can't sue if you're just offended by something out there in our society. Otherwise, you know, every time President Obama stood up and said something that is kind of slapped conservatives in the face, we'd be suing him, right? Well, you can't do that because there's no standing there, but there is that legal standing for someone based on law for someone to say, you just offended my religious sensibilities, and an atheist, say, or a Scrooge can claim that and then sue a school district for wanting to say Merry Christmas on their marquee in front of their school or something. And it's so that's the legal grounds we're talking about. But as for the common sense, yeah, it's a shame that these Scrooges, their complaints, they get lots of media attention, don't they? But they don't get a lot of support. And that is why the average traditional patriotic American needs to stand up and say, hey, school board members, these Scrooges don't have our support in trying to disallow our children from singing traditional Christmas songs in this program. And we want your decision changed to allow that celebration of Christmas.
Governor Palin, I appreciate you coming on the program. I would like to offer an invite as well that on the release date of your book, if I could get back in touch with you and let's talk a little bit more in depth about some of the solutions that you mentioned that you've come up with and some of the common sense things we as the ordinary citizen can approach and fight this battle in the right way.
Right on. That would be a blast. And remember that Wisconsin, I mean, it's there's a reason that your state's motto is forward, right? People do look to Wisconsin to see kind of that, taking that temperature of the pulse of America, because you so represent the heartland and not only literally feeding America there in Wisconsin, but so much of what you do politically and culturally affects the rest of the nation. And that's why I do believe that there is a providential reason for your state motto being forward. You help lead us forward. I hope in this case, the parents, the community members will show up at the meetings, have their voice heard, take a stand for Christmas and for our freedoms, and lead the rest of the nation in the right direction that we need to go. Lead us forward.
Thank you, Governor. It is a pleasure to talk to you, and our phone lines are always open to you. If there's anything we can do to help you, think of us first.
Right on, and go Packers. Thank you so much.
Take care. All right, we will be back shortly after these brief messages. When we are going to come back, we are talking to the organizers and people behind the Never Forgotten Honor Flight and some of the challenges that they may face when they go to Washington, D.C. in just a couple weeks.
News, talk, and Rush Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.